As the war calmed, John Doe 1 et al. Versus ExxonMobil Corporation et al., the lawsuit filed in Washington, D.C. on June 19, 2001, by Terry Collingsworth, on behalf of 11 anonymous alleged victims of the TNI's violence around the gas fields, 7 John Does and 4 Jane Does, some of whom were representatives of their dead spouses, seemed to some of Aceh's human rights activists to offer the only plausible means by which the ghosts of the province's torture rooms and civil violence might be exorcised. Through the lawsuit's fact-finding, some measure of transparency and accountability about Aceh's past might be established, they believed. The democratic government of Indonesia had neither the means nor the will to overcome the resistance to investigations by TNI leaders. That would require the distance and relatively neutral setting of an American courtroom. From the beginning of the Doe case, however, ExxonMobil used the deep sensitivity within Indonesia about the subject of Aceh's human rights abuses as a bulwark in its own legal defense strategy. If the case ever came to trial, ExxonMobil's lawyers made clear in early court hearings, the corporation's defense would pursue the argument that Indonesia's generals, not ExxonMobil's executives, were responsible for any actionable violence and therefore any financial liability. To lead its defense, ExxonMobil retained Martin J. Weinstein, a former federal prosecutor specializing in corruption and overseas bribery cases, who was a partner in the Washington office of Wilkie Farr and Gallagher. Among other previous assignments, Weinstein had investigated Pete Rose's gambling activity on behalf of the Commissioner of Major League Baseball. He was a wealthy, forceful K Street litigator. Weinstein was an active political contributor, primarily to Republican candidates. In Doe, his strategy was to have the lawsuit thrown out before its factual allegations about human rights violations in Aceh could be tried. Weinstein asserted that the case should be set aside or dismissed because it would interfere with the Bush administration's efforts to enlist Indonesia as an ally against Al-Qaeda after the September 11 attacks. Indonesia had, in fact, been a locus of radical Islamist groups that had trained and aligned themselves with Osama bin Laden. Weinstein's approach asked, in effect, which was more important, the appeasement of the Indonesian military to induce cooperation against Al-Qaeda, or the promotion of universal human rights through the normal functioning of American civil law? The Doe case fell by random assignment to Judge Louis F. Oberdorfer of the United States District Court in Washington. The judge was a former clerk to Supreme Court Justice Hugo Black. He had served in Robert F. Kennedy's Justice Department and had been appointed to the bench by President Jimmy Carter. At the time the Aceh matter landed on his desk, however, Oberdorfer was 82 years old. He occasionally appeared at hearings wearing an oxygen mask, which unnerved some of the lawyers who argued before him. It was established American law that domestic courts should not lightly interfere with the president's foreign policy. Federal judges regularly asked for advice or comment from the State Department when a civil case like Doe might affect American interests abroad. Martin Weinstein asked Judge Oberdorfer to make such a query of state. Even apart from ExxonMobil's deep connections to the Bush administration and the administration's earlier intervention against GAM, Weinstein had ample reason to think that Secretary of State Colin Powell and his principal legal advisor, William H. Taft IV, the great-grandson of the former Republican president, would lean ExxonMobil's way. States' lawyers often looked skeptically at the novel use of the 18th-century Alien Tort Claims Act to seek civil damages in American courts on behalf of overseas abuse victims. "It's another one of those pesky ATS alien tort cases keyed to corporate liability," State Department lawyer David P. Stewart wrote to colleagues when Oberdorfer's request for advice landed at Foggy Bottom. In fact, Taft and his colleagues were torn. They wanted to discourage alien tort cases. They wanted to support the White House's plan to build a new counterterrorism partnership with Indonesia. But they did not want to send a message to the TNI that would lead its generals to believe they enjoyed a free hand in Aceh or on human rights issues. Taft sent Oberdorfer a 6-page letter that tried to express this balance. The letter aligned the Bush administration with ExxonMobil's arguments, but also attempted to pressure Indonesia's military to improve its human rights performance. "Adjudication of this lawsuit at this time would in fact risk a potentially serious adverse impact on significant interests of the United States, including interests related directly to the ongoing struggle against international terrorism, he wrote. It may also diminish our ability to work with the government of Indonesia on a variety of important programs, including efforts to promote human rights. If the lawsuit went forward, Indonesia might reduce or end cooperation with the Bush administration on issues of substantial importance to the United States. It was a victory for the oil company, but not a total one. Taft had used wiggle words, more so than in some other state objections to cases of this type. At this time was a phrase Taft had employed more than once, for example. Oberdorfer and his clerks seemed to take the hint. ExxonMobil urged the judge to dismiss the Doe case outright, but rather than ruling promptly, he delayed. He also ordered the corporation to preserve all the documents and evidence that might be relevant if the case did go forward.